Prowlcast. I am Charles Raymond Carell Boulay. So very glad you are joining me. Am I getting old, children? I am. Well, don't answer that if you want to live. Okay, am I getting older? I am, because sweet baby Jesus on the little cross of Mary, I used to fly. I believe I can fly. I used to fly to San Francisco to attend the Apple events. I'm showing you on my camera, right here on my arm, I have an Apple tattoo. There it is right there. Do you see it? One of my first Apple tattoo right there. I love Apple. I truly do. Something's really odd with my audio today, by the way. I feel like I should whisper. I feel like I'm shouting at you. I don't know what's going on. Some days you can't even hear me, and now today it's like I'm shouting at you. Did I do something? What have I done? I don't know, but I've done something. But whatever. Okay, we got audio, and it's loud. I'm booming. Hey, there we go. Anyway, so Apple today unleashed the Kraken. There has just been so much about this, about, you know, their release today. And I used to fly up to them. I was there, okay? I was there when Steve Jobs, 10 years ago, you know, walked out, I'm an old soul. And there he was. And today, I have to say, I'm going to cry again because I'm an old sentimental fool, not just with raging hormones. But I was there when Steve Jobs said, oh, and one more thing. Oh, and one more thing. And there was the iPhone. It changed everything. And today, Tim Cook said, in the Steve Jobs Theater, in the new campus at Apple, he came there and he said, it's so fitting that in this place, at this time, we introduce the iPhone 10. And so they did. They introduced the iPhone 8, 8S, and then the 10. The 8 and the 8S are what you and most people are going to use. The 10 is what all the first adapters and audiophiles and Apple files and me, if I'm lucky enough, will use. Because let me tell you what today was about. Let me break down today's event from Apple for you, what it's going to mean to your world. Every time Apple takes a jump with technology, since they are the largest technology company and the richest company in the world, every time they do something, a lot of people play catch-up. Now, people have tried to innovate around Apple, and there have been some great innovations around Apple, but when Apple innovates, the industry responds. And Tim Cook said that very well today. He said, you know, if we hadn't developed the iPhone, if we hadn't made software that you actually touch instead of buttons that you touch, if we hadn't, you know, if this phone didn't exist, think how the 10 years would have been different. And he's right about that. Think about how iPhones and smartphones, which are iPhones, there was the iPhone and then there were copies. Think about how video now on Facebook has changed our world. Live streaming from events. Think about how that has changed the world. That's Apple. That's Apple. You know, think about all the innovations. So today, they wanted to innovate again. Today, they wanted to take a giant jump forward technologically. Now, before we get into the technological aspect of it, because I'm a geek and I geek out and I love it, although I'm disappointed they seem not to be a computer company anymore. Right, Ember? I don't think she's feeling well today. I mean that. I don't think my Ember's feeling well. She's scratching under her arms. A little dermatitis there. She's not feeling well. Anyway, I kind of felt bad watching today. I did. Oh, I have a wire. You can see my wire. It's supposed to be wireless. I felt badly because right now in Florida and Houston and parts of Georgia and Tennessee, an iPhone, a new iPhone, is the last thing on their minds. And for the last many days, we have been focused on cataclysmic weather events. You know, just cataclysmic weather events. And there has been now 11 deaths from Irma, and people in the U.S. Virgin Islands are suffering. No food, no water. St. Martin, the same thing. Anguilla. these foreign territories that Britain is ignoring, the Danes are ignoring, this is, we're ignoring. There's some real suffering going on right now in the wake of Irma. People are like, oh, it wasn't that bad. It was that bad. And there's still suffering going on in the wake of Houston, where lives completely destroyed, forever changed. And so I feel bad, badly. The adverb, how do I feel? Describes the verb. Therefore, I feel badly. I don't feel bad. I can't feel bad because bad would be a pronoun or would be an adjective. You don't use an adjective to modify a verb. You use an adverb. Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. So I feel badly watching this and being excited about it, wanting one, lusting after it. Because you know I want to get my hands on that iPhone X so bad I would slap someone upside their head and take it from them. I mean, I want it. I want it. I'm that person. Give me the tech. Feed me tech. Tech, tech, tech. I am the tech monster. Everything. Look at me. Look at me. I'm wearing a wireless headphone to a wireless microphone pack. I'm in a private studio 10 foot by 10 foot. I could have a 3-foot mic cord connected to the damn thing, but I've got to go Wi-Fi with a system that will work on stage up to 500 feet. Because why? Because you can. Because it's available. I have 3 monitors connected to my iMac 27-inch Retina display. As if 27 inches of Macintosh wasn't enough, I have a 27-inch monitor over here and a 19-inch monitor over here. I've got a 16-track mixing board for a show that only takes 4 tracks. I mean, I'm that guy. Okay, I've had Apple TV since it was invented. Okay, I'm wearing an Apple Watch. Oh, and they're doing some stuff for me on the Apple Watch. Very exciting about AFib. They're acknowledging AFib as the number one heart concern in America. And if you get the new Apple Watch, there's going to be an app that will tell you how often you go into AFib. And they're actually doing a heart study in conjunction with Stanford to try to help people with AFib. That's incredible. Now, that's tech that we can use, okay? My Apple Watch now tells me how much I sleep, too, and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I felt badly watching it. And, you know, again, no website video on my fucking website. Excuse my French. What is going on with Wirecast these days? I don't understand. You know, I don't understand with YouTube. YouTube sucks. I'm being serious here. I do everything the same way I have done it every single day. And yet suddenly, for some reason, my website won't stream. And it's YouTube. It's a frickin' YouTube. I hate YouTube. I hate it. I really do. I hate YouTube. I don't know how else to say it. It says I'm live on YouTube. So why are you not able to see me? I don't understand. It says I'm live. I don't get why you're not able to see me. I'm sorry. I'll update my website. You can reload the page. I will try that again, okay? So for those of you that are on Facebook who are normally at my website, okay, I will reload the page, which means you're going to have to reload the page, okay? We're doing this live. This is live radio, you know. I will reload the page. I will re-put in the code for the video, okay? So if you go to the page in about 2 minutes and reload it, the live stream should work. If it doesn't, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And today with Apple's thing about tech, you know, what I said today as they were introducing all these, you know, wonderful features of the new phone, I said, yeah, but it's probably still going to drop a call. You know, oh, it's great that the camera will now take Annie Leibovitz-style photographs, but will it work in a parking garage? Okay. These are the things that I want from a phone. Okay, by the way, my Really Corel should be working now. If it's not, I don't know why. So there. If you're jonesing to be at my website, reallycorel.com, it should be working now, and the chat room is fully operational, so there we go. So the iPhone's $1,000. That's how much the iPhone X is, baby. $1,000. But it's a computer. It's a television studio, it's a high-end digital video camera, it's a high-end still camera, and it's phone. In fact, the lowest on the list today, if you watch them talking about the iPhone today, the last thing they talked about is the phone part. They haven't. They don't talk about call clarity. They don't talk about call dropping. They don't talk about any of that when they introduce a new iPhone. They don't talk about anything that it does in terms of being a telephone. They only talk about the other stuff that it does. The other stuff, you know, because it's a computer. Remember this. The current phone you have in your pocket, even if it's an Android, has more computing power than the first 10 Apollo missions. Okay? So this new iPhone is a space-age computer. It has facial recognition. You know how you turn it on? You point it at you and look at it, and it knows who you are, and it will not work with a photograph. It'll not work with a twin. It'll only work with you, and it automatically goes to the home screen. Isn't that something? So you know why they did that, I bet. This way, Apple doesn't have to unlock phones anymore for the FBI. If a terrorist dies, keep his face intact because they can unlock his phone. Truly, I'm not making that up. The advantages of a facial recognition phone over other biometrics, because it wouldn't use a dead fingerprint. If the person was dead and the finger was cold, it wouldn't use it. So, yeah. Anyway, so we got a bunch of new stuff from Apple today. And as the consumer nation that we are, we should all be thrilled. But if you're like me, as happy as you are that these new toys are coming and as thrilled as you are technology is changing for the better, you just can't seem to, how do I say this? It doesn't have the same allure it once did for me. Thank you. I do look good, don't I? Thank you. Thank you in the chat room. I feel like crap, but I look fabulous. I weigh 229 pounds. I have lost 11 pounds in a month. You all should detox from opiates. You really should. But yes, justifying the expense. I can't right now, if they don't give me an iPhone, and I'm very lucky, they often give me one to try out and stuff like that. Or my friend Ken works at AT&T. If I don't get one that way, I'm not getting one. I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a phone. I don't have it. I'd rather spend it on my radio show, my TV show, my dog. But Apple doesn't need my $1,000. But I will get one day. I will have it. I just don't need to be first anymore. I used to need to be first. I had to have it first. I've lost that in my 50s. I'll get it. It's like movies. I know about Karen now. I used to have to go see them on opening weekend. Now, you know, I'll see them. Because I know I will. You know what taught me that? I have performed in venues where all of my idols have performed. Meaning, if you wait around long enough, you get to do pretty much anything. Okay, we're going to be back. We've got so much to talk about today, so please don't go anywhere. We've got a lot. I mean, a lot. For those of you that like me live, why don't you tune in at my website every day at reallycorell.com. That's reallycorell.com. Every day, right about noon, we go live. You can chat with other Corell listeners, and you can watch me do my thing live, reallycorell.com. Go to my website right now, reallycorell.com. That's reallycorell.com. Click on the Patreon logo and become one of the subscribers that keeps the show on the air. Hey, each week I do a Google Hangout with y'all, so come and be a Patreon subscriber. It's great fun. I love this song. Thea Austin. I'm going to put on my headphones and hear it. There's a message in this song, baby. I love message songs. Well, I love Thea Austin. I love Thea Austin and message songs. I am Corell, Charles Raymond Corell Boulay. You know, take a look outside right now. Can't believe all the changes that we've gone through. In this life is so up and down, and no one is caring anymore for you and me. What's in store? What about you? Song. I love it. I love it. I love it. Am I overmodulating? I sound like I'm overmodulating. I feel like I'm overmodulating. I look like I'm overmodulating. This is what overmodulation looks like. That's what it looks like. I could undermodulate, I suppose, if I really wanted to, but do I want to? I could cut the noise in the room and cut the noise on air. Then would it be too much? I don't know. I don't know. I did it. I did it. I'm quieter now. Okay. We have so much. Where's my show seat? Show sheet. Say that three times. Show sheet, show sheet, show sheet. I have so much I want to talk to you about today. I had to email it to myself. First segment was Apple and the cult of consumers, which we are, by the way. There is a new Apple Watch. It'll be very handy. It's waterproof. It's going to do marvelous things. Oh, the new Apple Watch, cellular. In other words, you now have your Dick Tracy communicator. The new Apple Watch will not need to be tethered to your phone to work. The way it is right now, this Apple Watch I have on my wrist right here, see, my Apple Watch, Series 1, with the Series 3, it will be cellular. So I can move away from, I could leave my phone at home when I go out, you know, someplace like the beach, because I'm so often there in my bikini, or my lovely one piece, cut to the nipples. Or wherever you want to go and you don't want to bring your phone. There's, you know, the movies, whatever. There's places you may want to go and you don't want to bring the entire phone because, oh, it's so big. It's like, I have a backpack for the phone, whatever. And now the Apple Watch is cellular. Apple TV is now going to be 4K. Do your eyes know the difference if you have a, you know, Mondo television? And it's going to have a lot more programming on it. It really is. Well, I use it. I use Apple TV. I use the Apple Watch. These are things I love. I was able to cut the cable because of Apple TV. Okay, so if you're a cable cutter, if you want to be a cable cutter, then you need to get an Apple TV. Not a, I know everyone says Roku. They're fine. Roku is fine. Chromecast is fine. But Apple TV is really the thing to do. And now it's in 4K, and it's going to be beautiful, and you'll get a lot more content. So they did the Apple Watch, they did the Apple TV, and then they did the iPhone. There'll be an 8S, and then the 10. They're expensive. They're fabulous. They push the limits. All right. In this, I wanted to talk in this segment. We have to talk about that next. We'll talk about Hillary Clinton next. The Democrats want her to shut up. Should she? All right, we're going to talk about that. What I want to talk about right now is the cop in Berkeley. What the hell's up with that? For those of you in the area, you know what I'm talking about. What the hell does a cop walk up to a street vendor, give him a ticket for illegally selling his hot dogs, bacon-wrapped hot dogs, which have been a savior to me. Oh, my God, I can't tell you. Back in the day when I got drunk, oh, my God, we'd be walking down Santa Monica Boulevard, and I'd be like, oh, we're very happy. Can't you feel a brand new day? And I'd be hungry. I'd be like, I'm hungry. We need to get food. I'm going to die. And there would be a vendor right there selling hot dogs wrapped in bacon, smothered in onions. God knows where the meat came from or where their health codes, whatever. We ate it, we survived, and we loved it. Well, I guess up in Berkeley, some cop decides that you're not going to eat it, you're not going to like it, and you're not going to love it, and he goes over and gives his vendor a ticket, and then if that is not bad enough, okay, on video, he empties the vendor's wallet. He steals the man's effing money. I'm not making that up. Now look, cops now are seen as killers of kids. They are now, there's a whole show on Netflix now called Confessions, and it's all about cops who get confessions from people on tape, but the people didn't really do the crime. You know, they're just idiots, and they're, oh, I guess I did. You know, I can't understand it. All I would be saying is, lawyer. And what happened then? Lawyer. And when what happened? Lawyer. Well, because I watch Law & Order, okay? And on Law & Order, they will go in and try to make you talk, okay? Oh, you don't need a lawyer, whatever. But then when it's one of them in trouble, the first thing they say to a cop in trouble is don't speak to anyone until your lawyer and your union rep gets here. Well, if you're going to tell another cop that, I'm going to take your advice. But a lot of people aren't me, and they go in and they sit there for 14 hours and they get worn down and they say, okay, I did it. So cops are now seen as killers of kids. They're now seen as defenders of racists. They are also seen as people who coerce bad confessions, thanks to Netflix. And now they're seen as thieves. Do any of us have a positive representation of police? I think not. And that cop, I don't care if it was legal what he did. I don't care if it was right what he did. That cop's ass should be fired. You do not give a ticket to someone and then empty their damn wallet. On video even. What an idiot. He should be fired for being an idiot. So Berkeley, get rid of that cop. And get rid of that policy that would let him take their money. Let's stop stealing from illegal immigrants or immigrants.
Whether it's how to support your family cooking on $15 a day or what's up in the world of pets, technology, travel, leisure, politics, it's all on Life in Segments, my weekly TV show. Go to lifeinsegments.com right now. Lifeinsegments.com. One of the most entertaining TV shows around is Carell's Life in Segments. I should know, I'm Carell, and that's what the media and listeners alike and viewers are saying about it. See what they're talking about by tuning in every week on Free Speech TV or go to lifeinsegments.com now.
I need a studio monitor. I don't have a studio. I need a studio monitor. If any of you manufacture studio monitors and would like me to feature it on my show, send it. It is the Crowdcast. I am Carell. Before we talk about Hillary being the thorn in the side of Democrats, let me... I was going to talk a little personally about some things. First of all, my AFib is getting better. Today it's a little better. The doctor says to give it a couple days because of this opiate detox. Second of all, I am going to dedicate a segment a day to Day 4 Forward. I started it. I registered the domain and the name. And I am now going to be a crusader for getting you all off opiates if you can. If you're someone that's been shot in the chest and paralyzed, then no, you need opiates. If you have multiple sclerosis, if you have stage 3 or 4 cancer, okay, you need the opiates. If you have chronic back pain, you don't need the opiates. If you have a chronically painful condition, you don't need the opiates. You want them because they make you feel better, but you don't need them, okay? So we're going to talk about that, really, because I might talk about it now because I sent Arianna Huffington a letter. But let me tell you about the other letter first. It's a purse of personal business. It's a piece of show business. And I think it can relate to your life, which is why I want to tell you. I have been courting a few advertisers that I need for this radio show and for the TV show. Okay? And one of the advertisers I have been courting is an appliance company, an appliance store, not a company, but a store, okay, that sells appliances. They met with me a month ago. I've had 2 meetings with them. I even pulled up my radio show on the refrigerator door in their store on a Samsung refrigerator to show them how much distribution I have. I gave them what I needed to get from this particular advertiser, which is the trade, an ad trade, which is very common, of a new stove in my kitchen. Mine isn't working. I only have 2 working burners on my stove. If it weren't for all the gadgets that you guys sent me, I wouldn't be cooking. I have 2 burners at work. Well, 1.5. The one has a half. The other 2 can't be repaired. And the oven just gave us an F1 error last night. So now we're just using the Wolfgang Puck oven. That's all we're using as an oven. So my stove is toast. And my dishwasher has been toast. And they're on camera every week on my TV show. So it is not uncommon for someone that has a TV show that puts things on camera to get appliances. You know, that's not uncommon. So I approached this store and said, here's what I need from you. I need a stove, a dishwasher, and actually I said I need a refrigerator, stove, dishwasher, and $2,500 cash. That's what I want to do for this trade. They said no. I said, fine, then we'll do a stove, a dishwasher, and $1,500 cash. And that way it's an introductory thing, plus I'll film at your store, I'll give you 15 seconds at the end of every TV show, I'll give you 100 radio ads. They said, how about we just do the stove and see how it goes, and you can buy a dishwasher at cost and pay for the installation and no cash. So stove trade, pay for the dishwasher at cost, and no cash. I was going to accept that. I was. Last week, I was told to call the owner of this place, and he would arrange it all. I called him Monday, left a message, no reply. I called him Wednesday, left a message, no reply. On Friday, I called their ad rep, who I worked with at KFI Radio and knows that I am quote-unquote Carell. I called the ad rep and said, dude, I don't want to trace down someone for an ad deal that I'm not even really getting a good deal out of. So if you guys want to do this, let's do this. And he sent me back a picture saying, I'm in Hawaii right now. We'll deal when I get back. Aloha. That's what he said. So, of course, last week, I started looking at other advertisers. So then yesterday, they call and say, okay, we're ready to go. When do you want your stove? And this morning, I said, I don't. And their faces broke. They said, what? I said, you know what? I met with you 4 weeks ago and told you I started filming in 3 weeks and needed this. I went to your store twice to meet with you guys. I jumped through every hoop. I gave you a 22-page PowerPoint presentation about my demographics, my distribution. I gave you every outlet that you're going to be seen on. I have outlined every single thing for you. And what did you tell me? That here's what we'll do. We'll give you a stove and you can buy a dishwasher and we're not giving you any cash. Well, guess what? You don't set the terms for my show. And yes, I need your money. And yes, I need your stove. But I would rather have a broken stove than give you something that does not respect me. You didn't call me back twice. You threw me off and said you were off in Hawaii and see you later. And then you don't want to do the basic deal that I do for any advertiser that's doing a trade. If they do a trade with me above the trade, they have to give at least $1,500 cash, period. Now, I was going to make an exception for you, and then you dissed me. So now I've approached other people. And if I go with you, it's going to be after they say no. So you're just going to have to wait. How many of you accept substandard behavior in your life because you need whatever it is they're giving? How many of you let your boss treat you badly, let vendors treat you badly, let relatives treat you badly because you need something from them? I'm telling you, no, you don't. If it's costing you one bit of your self-respect, don't do it. My radio show and TV show has value. 100,000 people a month start listening to me. That's how they count, how many new starts. 100,000 a month. Anytime I am aired on Free Speech TV, over 5,000 people watch the show in that airing alone. And it airs at least four times. So that's between 10 and 20,000 people on Free Speech TV every weekend, or 40 to 50,000 a month just there. Add in Reverie and Pluto, and suddenly I'm seeing my TV show by more people than most shows on Logo TV, except for RuPaul. And to let someone tell me that doesn't have value is what I've done since I've done this, which is why I keep having to beg you for money, because I don't think I'm worth it. I'm not Carell of KGO anymore. I'm not Carell of KFI anymore. I don't have these big numbers behind my name, these big letters anymore. Now it's just Carell. And that's, of course, wrong. I reach more people in the Bay Area than KGO Radio. I have more listeners in the San Francisco Bay Area than Ron Owens, okay? And that's just the truth. And how do I know? Because I can quantify how many people listen to me, and Ron Owens has four people meters in that region. Four people with a little key fob that if they're listening, those are how he gets his ratings. Four. Four in San Francisco. Four people determine talk radio in San Francisco. Four. In Los Angeles, there's 25 people meters dedicated to AM talk radio. 25 out of 19 million people. So I know how many people I reach, and it's more than KGO. I know how many viewers I have, and it's more than Logo Television. So if they don't see the value in me, if they don't see the value in reaching you, then they don't get to. I'm not going to sell myself short for a stove. Sorry. So I emailed them with great fear in my heart this morning. I did. I was afraid. And I said, look, $1,500, a stove and a dishwasher, or I'm not doing the deal. That's it. That's the minimum I need. I'm not doing the deal. I haven't heard back. Then I sent a letter to Arianna Huffington. I did. We are friends, casual friends, but friends. And I said to Arianna, I need her help, because that's the biggest thing a human being can do, acknowledge they need help. I told Arianna I need her help because never in my life have I been more committed to day four forward than at this point in my life. I just bought dayfourforward.com. I'm going to trademark the name because I have to help people get off opiates. I have to. I have to. I don't care if you think badly of me because I took them. I don't care if you have no respect for me because I'll tell you I took 60 milligrams of Percocet a day for 10 years. I don't care. I don't care. You know why? I needed it. I never doctor shopped. I always got them from one doctor. I never pharmacy shopped. I always got them from one pharmacy, and I never bought them illegally. I did run out a couple times, and there were two friends over the last 20 years that gave me a small amount of pills to get me through until I could see the doctor. Two people out of 20 years. And they only gave me like 10 or 15 pills or whatever. And that was when it was a weekend, the doctor's was closed, whatever. I didn't count the pills right, whatever it might have been. I have never, ever done what you hear about. You know, I've never gone out and bought them illegally. I've never gotten various prescriptions. I did once. I had a prescription from my foot doctor for Norco, but I was already on Norco. This is before they switched me to Percocet, from my primary care physician. So I took it to the same pharmacy, and they didn't combine the prescription, but they made it right. They made it so I didn't get extra drug that month. And so it was all cleared up by the pharmacy. I didn't do anything about it. Others would have gone to a different pharmacy and just gotten the drugs, even though now they get a doctors get a report if you do that. There's never been a letter sent about me. They do send letters if you've been to two different pharmacies to all of your pharmacies and doctors. I haven't ever had that happen. Many of you have, and there's no shame in it. But I feel I need to remove the shame of opiates. Most people won't talk about it. You won't talk about it. When you're at work and there's 20 people in the room, statistically, 6 are on opiates. Okay? 6. 20% of men are leaving the workforce. Leaving. That's 2 out of 10 are leaving the workforce because of opiates. It is the only thing we should all be talking about in our spare time. Are you on them? What are you on them for? Can you get off of them? Can I help you? Because you need to help. All of you not on opiates, you've got to help those of us who need them. We all have to start living healthier lifestyles. All of us. We can't fight upstream on our own. You know, we all have to start walking more, making cities that are made for to be more physically fit. We have to start selling better food. We have to take better care of ourselves, relieve our stress. We have got to change America to get America out of chronic pain. And it won't change, and it won't start, and no one will acknowledge it if we don't start talking about it. Opiate users are not the scourge of the earth. They are not all horrible, toothless drug addicts. They are people in pain. Either it's their back or some other chronic pain, or it's just the effing pain of being a human in 2017. But they are in pain. And they're not villains if they're in pain. I don't care if their pain is just emotional, because it works for that too. They're in pain of some kind. We have got to start caring that 100 million of us, that 1 out of 3 of us are in such pain. And then the others, the other 200 million, alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, we are all over medicating because we are in pain. I want to help. I want to help. I don't know how. I just want to help. I'm in pain right now. This right hip right here is so painful. I don't know why. We've taken x-rays. We'll see this week. Could be a bad hip. Could just be muscles. I've had a pain in my side right here for 5 days, but I had a massage, and it could be that, or God knows what it could be. I feel my body rearranging, that I'm losing weight. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, so all these things are changing about me, but I'm not afraid of them. You see, opiates, you live in fear. You're afraid of the pain, so you take a pill. You're afraid of running out of the pills, so you count them. You're afraid of what people will think about you, so you don't let people see you take the pills. Opiates are just a fearful place to be. I'm not in fear anymore. I don't care what you think of me. This is me, baby. This is it, okay? And I'm not saying I don't care what you think. I do care. But what I mean is I don't care if you think less of me because I'm open with you about my opiate use. I used them properly. I used them for what they were prescribed for. I never sold them. I never, you know, I would certainly not give them away. Well, if Steve Cabral was in aching pain, I would give him one. Proof I'm not an addict. Truly, I would give one to my roommate when he was in bad pain. He has a back injury and he doesn't have insurance. And some days he was in terrible pain. And I'd say, here, have a Percocet. And he would take it and he would say, oh God, I feel so much better. I'm like, yeah, now you see why they're popular. You know? So day 4 onward means that after you get through the worst of it, you've got to now do something. Now that my head is clear, I got to do something. I got to produce better shows. I have to do better television. I have to make a movie. I have to take care of Ember. I have to get physically fit. I have to take care of my mind, body, and soul. And I have to think about how all of it affects you. I've got a lot to do just by quitting a pill. Isn't that amazing?
Hey, if you want your phone to be hotter than a Samsung 7 in a carry-on luggage, too soon, then get my app, the Karelcast app. It's for iOS, it's for Android, it's for your phone or your iPad or device to make it a whole lot smarter at the App Store of your choice. And it's all right, and he's coming on. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Karelcast, and you've got all of me, honey.
Oops, sorry about that. Well, I want to get right to the segment because we haven't even talked about Hillary yet. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell over at the chat room at reallycarell.com. Daniel says, according to the cop, the money was taken because it was profit from an illegal business and he could get it back in court. Why do people keep blaming cops for stopping illegal activity? If we think it would be legal to sell hot dogs anywhere and block sidewalks where handicapped people cannot get by, we need to attack legislators to change laws, not the police. There are bad cops, but this one is not one of them. But the cop could have taken a photo of the vendor's money. Heck no. Did you have restless legs when you quit? Yes, I did. I had restless, horrible legs. That's because you're producing testosterone. And oh, my God, I'm still waking up with my bed a mess. I don't know why. Ember's mad at me. So I don't know what's going on there. Daniel, I disagree with you. I disagree with you. And let me tell you why. Eartha Kitt was a friend of mine. God, I'm so glad I can say that. I had her home phone number. And Eartha Kitt and I would often talk. And I loved it. And Eartha Kitt told me of a time when her and her daughter, Kit, her daughter is named Kit Kit, were performing in South Africa, okay, prior to apartheid being over. And in South Africa, it was illegal for a white person and a black person to drink out of the same glass. Eartha had a mixed race show, which was so controversial that the police in South Africa attended it. In the middle of the show, Eartha Kitt said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you all now to turn to the end of your seats and you'll see a bottle of champagne. I want you to open the bottle of champagne. So all of a sudden, 200 corks went off all around the place. Now under your seat, you'll find one glass at the end of the row. Fill the glass with champagne, sip, pass the glass and the champagne down. She did that so whites and blacks would sip out of the same glass in such mass that the cops couldn't arrest them. When I asked her why, do you know what Eartha Kitt said to me? Well, Carell, sometime when there's a law that's so ridiculously stupid, you simply should break it to make the point. I just fell down like, okay. If there's a law, okay, that says you can steal money from a vendor on the sidewalk, then that's a stupid law, and cops shouldn't enforce it, okay? That cop had the right to just issue the citation. I'm not citing him for that. Let him issue a citation to the vendor in Berkeley for illegal street vending. That's fine. He can do that. But to take that person's wages, that is the state seizing your assets. That's Jeff Sessions stuff, okay? I don't like that. Because guess what? They used to do that if you had a joint in your pocket. They would take your car if you had a joint in the center divider. Take your car! And it was legal. Should we all just say, why are we mad at cops for enforcing the law? It's illegal to have a joint in your car. They should be able to seize your car. They have taken so many people's homes and houses for growing pot in the backyard. Okay? So come on. Come on. The cop could have issued the citation. I'm not begrudging him that. The vendor was breaking the law. It's a stupid law, but it is up to the legislature to change that and not the police. I understand that. But if you don't think police selectively enforce laws, you're bat crap crazy. Of course they do. They decide who to ticket and who not. Yeah, I'm not saying the cop was racist. I'm not saying anything. I'm simply saying what he did was morally wrong. I don't care if it was legally right. Because there's a big difference between legally right and morally wrong. And what he did was morally wrong. He took that man's earnings. That man may not eat that night. His family may go without something that night. Oh, but it's the law. Stop hiding behind the law and be a human being for the love of Christ. That's all I got to say. The cop was judge, jury, and executioner right there on the street. I'm sorry. No. 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 Just no. All right. When we come back in the after show, if you're listening on terrestrial radio, you'll have to just go get the podcast or the app or whatever. Hillary Clinton is out doing interviews. We have a request in. I don't know that she'll do it, but we have a request in. She is out doing interviews for her new book, What Happened? That's the name of the book, I think, What Happened? I, for one, have been waiting to hear from Hillary Rodham Clinton. And if you watch American Horror Story, I didn't. I watched the first episode, and it's set with the election night of Trump winning, and the whole thing is going to be about Trump fanatics. It's called Cult. I can't watch it. The what's her name? Sarah Paulson. She's too crazy. They're making her some liberal crazy person, and I just can't. She's too crazy, and it's annoying, and I don't like it. I also don't like all the stupid clowns. I am not frightened of a clown. And if you dress like a scary clown and you come towards me, I'm going to shoot you with my 9mm semi-automatic directly between your scary clown eyes. So, not afraid of you, scary clowns. Right, Ember? Oh, that's just Steve. He's going for a bike ride. Go get him. Go get him! I am Carell. We're heading to the after show. Be who you want to be so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. All right, now you want to come back. She is so fickle. What a fickle girl. Now you want to come back. Thank God you're light, lifting you up and down on this desk. I get to sit down for the after show, too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Have you seen it? Well, you should. HiTheSeries.com. HiTheSeries.com was produced by Brandon Riley Miller, who does my show, Carell Life in Segments, and examines a family dealing with marijuana in a small town. HiTheSeries.com. Go watch it now. Are you watching Life in Segments? You should be. Now in its third season. That's right, three seasons on Free Speech TV. You can also watch it every single day at lifeinsegments.com. Life in Segments, the great reality chat show from yours truly.
It is a Carell cast. I'm Carell. We're recording. I didn't even know. If you're watching, this is the after show. I can swear. I can do whatever I want. And if you have any questions, I field them at reallycarell.com, reallycarell.com, or you can post them at the Facebook chat, and I just get to those after the show. If you have any questions about detox, that's fine. Someone asked, do I have the restless legs? Can I just tell you, restless legs are partially why most people... let me tell you why people fail in opiate detox. It's going to be brutal, and it's going to be descriptive, and it's going to be explicit. And by the way, Daniel, thank you for coming around. Really, you can change your mind. And he changed his mind. He said the cop was wrong, that he could have photographed the money and just issued the summons to appear. He didn't have to, you know, take the cash. And good for you for coming around. Yes, and clowns. I am not afraid of clowns. That's why everyone says, oh, don't go see it. It's so scary. Clowns don't scare me. Politicians scare me. As I age, a lot less scares me out of reality. You know, a scary clown doesn't scare me. Donald Trump as president as a scary clown. That scares me. You know, really. So anyway. Yeah, the clown with the dildos. Joe in the chat room. Yeah, American Horror Story. Not making it for me this season. Not making it, just not. It could be interesting. We all really did go into chaos after the election night. We all did weep openly and felt lost. And like our country, you know, and a lot of us still feel that way. They don't want to hear from Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's out right now, and the Democrats want her to shut up. Fuck the Democrats. And she said so much as NPR this morning. And do you know who else? Fuck Bernie Sanders. And I know you guys don't want to hear that, but I'm with Hillary on this. She handed Donald Trump the election. And you can't say otherwise. Oh, no, it was good. He's not even a Democrat. He is not out helping Democrats right now. He is not out campaigning for Democrats as we speak. He is not doing a thing for the Democratic Party. But he ran as a Democrat. That's sabotage. Hillary Clinton was and is a Democrat. And they want to take her to task because they said, oh, well, you felt like you were entitled because you had done all of this stuff and, you know, it was your turn to be president. She was and it was. What is wrong with saying that? What is wrong with saying that a senator, then secretary of state, and first lady should be in line for the job of presidency? What is wrong with that when you put a fucking billionaire with zero political experience in there? I am so tired of criticizing Hillary Rodham Clinton. If she didn't have a vagina, they wouldn't be criticizing her. And Democrats, if you want to run from her, it just shows how stupid you are. You can't win elections, Democrats, because you're fucking morons. Even Hillary admits she did not tap in to the anger of the American people. She didn't. She didn't. And she didn't because she didn't want to appear to be that angry old woman. But you know what? That's what everybody wanted. That's why they voted for Trump. They wanted someone that was mad. And they got him. You know? But because she's a woman, she has to continually justify what it is she did. Well, what were you feeling this? Well, why were you doing that? Because I am the best fucking candidate in the United States? because I have dealt with every world leader as a Secretary of State, as a seated senator, as a First Lady, because out of the 314 million people in this country, only about 20 have my resume to be president. That's why I wanted to be president. Oh, but you can't say that, you know? Bernie Sanders, if you supported him, you are the reason we are here. And that's just the way it is. You can try to deny it. You know, you can say, Carell, that's not fair. He was a good... No, I'm sorry, all you tree-hugging, loafer-eating fools. He made you feel good. Just like they wanted to feel angry with Donald, you wanted to feel good with Bernie. Oh, you wanted to sit around with your jazz fingers in your Occupy meetings and say, we're going to change the world through compassion and love and progression and blah, 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 blah. And oh, it's all one love. And you fractured the Democratic Party and the Republicans won because you don't know shit about history. Because you don't know, as Hillary Clinton said this morning, historically, it is nearly impossible for a member of a party that has been in power for 8 years to win the presidency. So she was already fighting an uphill battle. After 8 years of Obama, it was nearly impossible for a Democrat to win anyway. We needed all hands on deck. And what did we get? Bernie Sanders pulling half the hands off the deck. And then we wonder why we get this man who could kill us. I don't take it lightly that you Bernie Sanders supporters put Donald Trump in office. And I don't let you run away from it either. And neither should Hillary Clinton. Because if another person runs in the Democratic Party that is not a Democrat, the Democratic Party should stand up and say, sorry, you're not going to be our candidate. You're not going to be included in the debates. Go run as an independent. Both Trump and Sanders were independent. Neither of them were the party that they ran in. And look what's happening. Donald Trump is not a Republican. He is nowhere near a Republican. And Bernie Sanders was not a Democrat. And the non-Republican won the White House, and the true Democrat lost because the non-Democrat pulled half the votes. And that's the truth, and Hillary's out telling you, and you don't like it. You know what? You don't like it. I'm sorry you don't like it. I'm sorry facts are inconvenient. I'm sorry, Bernie Sanders. I've interviewed you 10 times. You are such a likable man, but fuck you. You gave us Donald Trump. And stop acting like you didn't. Yes, you came together with Hillary at the very end when it was far too frickin' late. When Comey was out there with the emails and these Trump morons were everywhere. Too much, too little, too late. Thanks, Bernie. Thank you. I'm so happy that the Dreamers have been attacked because of you, Bernie. I'm so happy that immigrants are under attack because of you, Bernie. I am so happy that gays and trans are under attack because of you, Bernie, and your lovely followers. You know what? You can't argue with me historically. You guys did it. You drained the votes away from Hillary. Sorry. Oh, and you Jill Stein lovers. Yeah, make me vomit. Just make me vomit, Jill Stein. Could you imagine? If she's not a lesbian, she certainly looks like one. And I don't, oh, that's an insult to lesbians, Carell. No, she's a hard-looking woman. She's not going to win the presidency looking like that. Sorry, cosmetics count. Men can be ugly, women can't. Hillary had to worry about her pantsuits. Donald Trump didn't. Hillary had to worry about what color she wore everywhere. Donald Trump didn't. Hillary would wear something that looked a little odd, like that lime green thing that she wore, and everybody's suddenly talking about her. But Donald Trump looks like a fucking Macy's palude, you know, being pulled down the street with orange hair and Cheeto skin, and nobody says a goddamn word. Okay. Okay. You know, Bernie was not there for Hillary. Even after he endorsed her, he was not there for her. And he did not demand that his people show up for her. And subsequently, we have Donald Trump. And it is Bernie Sanders and Jill, whatever her name is, and these other little frickin' morons' fault. And it's your fault for voting for these morons. You could vote Sanders in the primary. But once Hillary was the nominee, Sanders should have stopped. He should have just stopped and conceded, but he didn't. He took it all the way to the convention and split the party. And here's what we have. There's what we have. You know, right here. Here's what we have. A big steaming pile of shit like the one probably waiting for me behind my garage right now. I'm not making that up. I'm sorry I curse so much. No, I'm not. Fuck you. I'm not sorry I curse in the after show. This is how I talk in real life. The way I talk on radio is not the way I talk in real life. If you know Carell, you know he is a foul-mouthed person. And I am. I'm foul-mouthed. I don't care. I don't care. It's all language. Fuck it. You know, I'm tired of so much in this country right now. We're dying. You know, it was easier for me to get 150 Percocet a month than it was to get food. You know? Really. It's easier for people now to get Percocet than it is to get healthy food. You know? There's more regulation on my Percocet than there is on healthy food. You know? They count how many Percocet you get, the FDA. They send you a letter, and they send your doctors a letter. Do they count how many fucking hamburgers you eat every week? That's going to kill you more. You know, I know I'm on the day four onward, but one of the parts of day four onward is taking care of yourself, and our country's not set up for that. Once I'm off opiates, you guys live an unhealthy lifestyle. Your food is poison. There's hardly any... How come every house doesn't have a swimming pool? Every single home and every single facility that people live in. Why doesn't it have a weight room and a swimming pool? Every place. Every apartment complex, every house. Because it's a health device. Swimming is the best thing a human can do. It is the best exercise for you. Period. Low impact, great cardio, builds muscles. Best exercise for a human. Walking and swimming. Best. Period. There are none better. So why doesn't every home have a swimming pool, a lap pool, built right in? Why don't understand that? Why doesn't every city have restaurants that serve real food, you know, real honest-to-God food, more than restaurants that don't? Why doesn't every city have grocery stores that serve locally sourced proteins and vegetables, and that's it? None of the middle stuff, none of the boxed processed stuff. Proteins, vegetables, basic ingredients, and that's it. Because we're not healthy, because they don't want us to be healthy, you know? Someone asked me if I'm going to get a bigger TV. Because my TV in my TV room is only 42 inches only. And they said, well, it's, you know, you love television and you can get a 60. The last thing I need is something to keep me in front of the TV. That's the last thing I need. So I have not bought a bigger television. I haven't. I have the same TV I've had for 7 years. Why? Because the last thing I need is something to keep me in front of the television. That's the last thing I need. So we talk about day four onward, okay? That involves being psychologically healthy. That means speaking the truth. Hillary Clinton has a right to speak her truth. She, as she said today, she's earned the right and she has the scars. And if any Democrat doesn't like it, they can not read the book or they can turn off the radio or TV. But she has earned the right to tell her story. And now, just like a woman, they're going to tell her to shut up. How misogynistic is the Democratic Party telling Hillary Clinton to shut up about the most contested election in U.S. history? She had a starring role in an election that is now launching TV shows and movies and everything else. She was the lead, and she doesn't get to tell her story because it might piss off Democrats. It might further divide the party because the party doesn't want to hear that Bernie Sanders killed it. Bernie Sanders killed the Democratic Party. He killed it. It's dead. It needs to reinvent itself as the Progressive Party and call itself the Progressive Party. But he killed the Democratic Party. You know? He killed it. And Democrats don't want to hear the truth, that they let her lose by not supporting her. They were too afraid to prop up Hillary. We don't want to seem like we're too much behind her. We don't want to seem like she's too entitled. Why not? Donald Trump said, I, of course, am going to be president of these fucking United States. I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and you would still vote for me. I am God. And he became one. They proclaimed Hillary all kinds of things, but never a winner. And they lost. And now they want her to shut up about it? Oh, please. Please. Hillary, go tell everybody. Go tell the world that Bernie Sanders cost you the election. Go tell the world that Jill Stein and all these, you know, grass-eating morons out there cost you the election and subsequently has thrust our country into 40 years of darkness. Someone has to be accountable, and it's not her. Everybody wants to blame her. She ran a bad campaign. She shouldn't have done this. She shouldn't have. Nope. It's not Hillary's fault. She was the most qualified. She ran a clean campaign. She did everything she was supposed to do properly. Whose fault was it? Bernie Sanders, Jill Stein, and the supporters who just couldn't get behind Hillary. I just can't get behind her. I just don't like the Clintons. Or, you know, she had someone murdered or whatever. All you booger-eating morons who didn't think she'd be the best candidate for the job of president. Well, thank you. Thank you for this lovely world we live in now, where trans people are being kicked out of the military. We're building a wall. Dreamers don't know if they're going to be going home, or meaning leaving home, America. And Kim Jong-un is throwing a fit and possibly lobbing interballistic missiles. Thank you so very fucking much. I really appreciate all you did for us in the election. You guys were great. Thanks for changing America. You really did. Boy, did you change America. Uh-huh. And not for the better.
I listen to the Karelcast. Well, how do you do that? There's an app for that, honey. That's right. That's what you can tell your friends. Every time they say, oh, I love Karel. I used to love him. How do I listen to him? Say, there is an app for that. And you can get it at any app store that you want. It's the Karelcast, and it's perfectly free. Get it. You know, when I say the Karel Show needs you, I'm not joking. We are supported through Patreon. Patreon is this great website where you can go and you can pledge however much per month to the show that you feel we deserve. $4.99 is recommended, but you can give more. Go to reallykarel.com and just click.
Oh, it's frightening how back I am. It really is. I'm scaring myself. I am Karel, and the bitch is back. I am. You know, I forgot for years I was a cunt. Sorry for that word, women. But I am. I really am. If I want to be snarky and nasty, I can be. And I forgot that. I forgot that sometimes you need to look people in the eye and go, you're a fucking moron. I forgot that. I was so politically correct and didn't want to upset anybody. And, you know, program directors would give you phone calls. And could you please lighten the rhetoric? And please don't play Ding Dong the Witch is Dead the day Reagan dies. And please don't say the Pope was a fucking war criminal, you know, the day that he dies. And, oh, I've been told my entire radio career what I can and cannot say. And now, thanks to technology and Apple, thank you, Apple, who today introduced such great toys. Now, thanks to them, I can tell you anything that I fucking want because I'm the boss. I'm broke because of it. But so what? But so what? And you know what? I'm the nicest person you'll ever meet, but sometimes the time for niceties are over. We're going down. Our country's going down. Now, you can be nice about it and say, oh, it's too bad, or you can fight. You can say, stop, enough. Is your life worth fighting for? Is it? You're going to say, no, it's not. Not right now, it's not. Most of your lives right now aren't worth fighting for. You wouldn't fight for your country. You certainly wouldn't fight to save the life you've got. Mine wasn't either. I was medicated in a lot of my 40s because of my back, and I dated a guy from the time he was 19 to 25. He's now happy with a woman. I'm alone. That happened because I was medicated and wouldn't listen to my friends. My back hurt. He was here. I was drugged. I was happy. I liked him. But I wasted my time. I can be hard on myself. I was a fucking idiot. I wasted my time. Now, I want the rest. I want the rest of my life. I don't want it to be the worst is yet to come. I want it to be the best is yet to come. And that means we're going to have to fight ourselves. We're going to have to fight our own obesity because we can't live full lives like this. I can't stay this way. I can't. It's now time to change. I weigh 229 pounds. I should weigh about 198. That's 30 pounds overweight. That's a lot of weight on my hips and my back and my heart. I have to acknowledge that. Chuck, you can't stay this fat. You can't. Not if you want to be healthy. Not if you want to be off of pain pills. Fat hurts. Why do you think 100 million of us take opiates? It's not just our back. Being fat hurts. It hurts. I can acknowledge that I'm causing some of my pain by being fat. We're going to have to be hard on ourselves, hard on each other, hard on our country. It's not going to be easy to reclaim our lives. We're not going to be able to be civil all the time about it. And we're going to have to say the truth, like Bernie Sanders cost Hillary the election. Plain simple. It happened. Deal with it. Don't let it happen again. Same with Republicans. If you don't like Donald Trump leading your party, if you hate this guy, then separate. Say he's not a Republican, that you are not him. Of course, you're not, because you are him. Bunch of racist, misogynist assholes. All right. I'm out of here. The after show is over. I had a good rant. So glad you all joined me. We picked up a lot more people in the after show, actually. Gee, just raise your blood pressure a little and see what happens. I love you. Amber loves you. And remember, if you can't stay focused, stay high. I'm kidding. You can be focused and high. This thing takes a lot. This little Flavor X thing. See all that sucking for that little. My God, if I were a hooker, I'd want my money back. Oh, God, Lord, I have the lungs of a 12-year-old. I bet he wants them back.
How many of you can say you have the best boss in the world? Well, I can because my boss is you. I work for you because the show, The Carell Cast, is sponsored and paid for through Patreon. And that means you. Give 5, 10, 15, or 20 bucks a month. Keep the show on air now. Are you watching me now? Oh, that was the end of A Star Is Born. I fell in love with Barbara Streisand. Well, you can fall in love with me every single day at reallycarell.com at noon. That's reallycarell.com and at facebook.com/reallycarell. Watch me each and every day at noon.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.